You're listening to
The Pulse.
Hey, hey, Fort Stewart, Hunter Army Airfield, and Wynn Army Community Hospital. It's Kevin Larson coming at you with this latest episode of The Pulse. And we're going to talk about a very important topic. It's Suicide Awareness Month. And we have resources here at Wynn Army Community Hospital to help those people that are struggling with issues, need some help, just a touchstone on life. And I'm joined by Erica Venancio. She is the clinical social worker for the Family Advocacy Program here at Wynn Army Community Hospital. Erica, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So let's jump right into it. This is an important topic. It touches any one of our beneficiaries, soldiers, family members, even children. So from your perspective, well, first of all, tell us how you got started in social work and how you came into the military healthcare system.
Okay, yeah. So I actually got started in social work after working for almost a decade with students in a school system in a just support staff kind of role and seeing tons of children who needed help. And it drove me to go back to college and get my degree in social work so I can get into a space where I was able to support and help children outside of just being the nice lady they saw in the hallway.
So I can tell you that school counselors are an absolutely vital part of the school system. And my daughter, that they do touch points with the kids. It's they'll go to the classrooms and they'll ask them, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And then if that individual level of talking is needed, they provide that. So being in touch with your feelings and having someone to go to a safe space in school at any point in your life is absolutely important. So thank you for what you've done and for what you do.
Thank you.
So, like I said at the beginning, it's Suicide Awareness Month. Why is it important to raise awareness and prevent suicide?
Yeah, well, the first thing that comes to mind when we think about why we need to bring awareness is to prevent the stigma, get people to start talking about it and be more open. You know, when we look at suicide, oftentimes people are afraid to talk about it. People are afraid to ask those questions. But really, in reality, we need to have those tough conversations to be able to show up and support people in the way that they need.
Right. And the Army is very big, and the Department of Defense, mainly the Army, is big on the ACT, care, and escort model, where you see someone needs some help, you offer that care of, hey, I see you're struggling, let's talk about it. Are you dealing with something? Are you thinking about hurting yourself? And then taking them to the appropriate level of care. So for family advocacy, specifically here at Wynn Army Community Hospital, what is your role in supporting military families?
Yeah, so the Family Advocacy Program came about due to allegations of domestic violence and child abuse that were happening across military installations. So we are a command-directed program that responds to allegations of domestic abuse and domestic violence and child abuse involving service members and their dependents. So our team plays a crucial role in being able to jump in with the families, assess the level of risk that's going on, determine safety planning so we can protect the victims of these incidences, as well as providing support and clinical services to everybody that's involved. And our hope in doing that and providing those clinical services is to prevent these things from reoccurring and really giving soldiers and their families the skills and tools they need to communicate more effectively and minimize conflict and abuse happening within the household.
So speaking of conflict and abuse, that's obviously, that can lead to a heavy mental toll on a family member. Have you ever encountered where there was a family member considering doing something that's irreversible, harming themselves, where they got the help they needed and were successful in turning the page?
Definitely. We see patients often that come in having different levels of suicidal ideation, whether it's just having a flight of thoughts or even having a full plan in place of how they want to move forward to complete the act of suicide. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I have seen people be able to transition through that with the right support systems and get to a place where they're finding more hope and being able to move through that healing process. I think that when you think about family advocacy, especially for soldiers, it's a scary place to end up. I think there's a stigma attached to family advocacy or even just having an open case with us could initiate some of those feelings of suicide or wanting to self-harm because they feel like they're out of control with things that are happening.
So to touch on that point, that they get this feeling of being out of control by coming to the service, how can you defeat that stigma? What do you tell them? How do you bring them back from the figurative and the literal edge?
Yeah, so for me, it all starts within the intakes. That rapport building, being able to make a safe and comfortable space without judgment, regardless of what the allegation that I'm reading says, I'm here to help. I'm not here to pass judgment, to tell you that you're wrong. I'm here to understand what's going on, what the core issue is, and I'm here to hold your hand and guide you through the process to get to a better place. So I think a lot of times when we think of family advocacy, people start to assume that I'm going to get chaptered out of the military. There's going to be legal consequences. That's not what FAP is about. FAP at the core is helping people, providing those clinical skills to give them what they need to overcome it. And I think that when I have people in my office, that I'm able to help them see that and see that my role is really just to help. And it's all about getting them what they need. So usually that can help kind of let them see that there is hope and there are options for them.
Yeah, all too often, I think people don't understand that people who provide behavioral health and mental health counseling, all too often, I feel like people don't understand that you're not a referee. You're not, like you said, passing judgment. You're a listening ear and you're guiding them to where they feel most comfortable. It's however you internally might feel as the professional offering that help. It's your job to be an objective observer and provide the, hey, I'm here to help. Let me hold your hand, like you said. So it's absolutely critical that people understand that you are not passing judgment.
Mm-hmm. I'd say the other thing is that I'm not here to tell you what you need to do. I think a lot of times people think, maybe they hope that they're coming into a counselor's office and I'm just going to give you all the answers to solve your problems. But that's not the way that it works. I'm here to give you tools. I might be the expert of the textbook. I've spent a lot of time studying throughout college, but you're the expert of your life. So I can give you all kinds of tools, but we have to find and adjust treatment to what best fits your needs. So it's not a one size fits all. You're not coming in and checking boxes. We're here to really make an individualized plan that's going to help you meet your needs.
Perfect, and absolutely perfect. So what are some common misconceptions about the topic at hand, the month that we're in, suicide? What are some misconceptions about that topic?
Yeah, I think one of the first misconceptions that comes to my mind, because there are many, is that if we talk about it, it might drive somebody to act on it. And that is far from the truth. Generally, people are thinking about it and not saying anything. So when we ask those questions, hey, are you having thoughts of harming yourself? Hey, I noticed that you haven't been yourself lately. Can you tell me what's been going on? It opens the door for them to get off of their chest what they're dealing with, able to see that there's a space where people are willing to listen and that somebody is there for me and willing to support me and help me get through this. And then also help them see their options, because there are tons of options for what we can do to help people who are struggling with those thoughts.
Right. And I myself can recall there was a Facebook friend that I had, and he started giving away possessions, which mm-hmm. is an indicator of, hey, there is something going on. And other friends on his profile started commenting, hey, are you okay? And he claimed he was, but I almost feel like because there was that conversation, that open dialogue, people showing interest in his well-being, that maybe not, who knows, but he's, as far as I know, he's still with us. So it's important, like you said, to have those conversations about a difficult topic, because it's about awareness, like you said. You see families that are struggling with, like you said, abuse and other things that are negative that come up in a family that might have some dysfunction or issues. Does any of that contribute to risk for suicide, and what are some other risk factors?
Most definitely. So I think just looking at military in general, adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs for short, majority of the people who join the military already have a high ACEs score. They've had throughout their life adverse experiences from the time they were born till they were 18, that, again, abuse, neglect, witnessing violence, being exposed to drug use or alcohol use within the home. Those are all factors that put us at a higher risk for suicide.
Mm-hmm.
In the military population especially, statistics show that there are higher rates of ACEs, and then that compelled with military-related trauma, separation from families, we do see higher rates of suicide amongst our soldiers.
And then how do you recognize those signs and symptoms in soldiers or family members?
Yeah, so I think there are a lot of signs. So like you had mentioned, somebody just giving away their prized possessions, somebody who is maybe talking about suicide, it might look like, I wish I were dead, I am going to kill myself, or even having thoughts or sharing thoughts like, I wish I could go to sleep and never wake up. People who are having mood swings, isolating themselves, having an increase in alcohol use or drugs, risk-taking behaviors, even reckless driving, those are all risk factors and warning signs to be aware of that might warrant us asking some more questions about how somebody's doing.
Absolutely. Asking those questions, having that dialogue is important. So we'll pause right here for a brief message, and we'll be right back.
Introducing Q Anywhere, your stress-free prescription pickup solution. Just get in line with your DoD ID, select your pharmacy spot, and we'll text you when your prescription is ready. Text I am here when you're on your way, and we'll have your meds ready for pickup. Quick, efficient, and easy. For refills, call 912-435-6576. Q Anywhere, because life's too short to wait.
And we're back. I'm joined by Erica Venancio. She is the Family Advocacy Program Clinical Social Worker here at Wynn Army Community Hospital, and we're talking about Suicide Awareness Month and how there are signs you can recognize, ways to get help, and things you can do, like having open dialogue to help people out or even help yourself if you're struggling with this issue. So let's keep talking about the topic. Here at Wynn Army Community Hospital, and even throughout the local community, and possibly even nationally, what services do we have available for our soldiers, retirees, family members, all of our beneficiaries that are possibly dealing with this topic?
There are actually a lot of resources, as you mentioned, and starting off with the national scale, there's the suicide hotline. So texting or calling 988. I believe if you press 1, that'll get you connected with people who are familiar with first responders and military personnel. There is also a crisis text line where you text hello to 741-741. We have an array of services through the hospital. We have the MFLAC, Child and Family Behavioral Health, Family Advocacy, and the Embedded Behavioral Health for Soldiers. Beneficiaries can go to win.tricare.mil to locate more information on those services and how to get in contact with them. We also have Military OneSource, which is a great resource for our soldiers and beneficiaries who are able to connect with non-medical counseling. So it's going to sometimes be telehealth or in person, but it's not as intensive treatment if you're just needing a little pick-me-up. For that, they can go to militaryonesource.mil for more information. And then in the community, we've got a ton of mental health providers. PsychologyToday.com is a resource I suggest to all kinds of people. You're able to navigate the search and change it by insurance. So you can change it and say TRICARE, and it's only going to show you the providers that are local that accept TRICARE insurance.
Nice. So there are definitely tools out there to help our families, soldiers, with this topic. I know you shared a little bit about your personal experiences, and obviously I'm not asking you to get into any specific details, but do you have a personal story about either being a counselor or even from your personal life that touches on this topic?
Yes, I do. I when I think about suicide, I think back to being in high school. The town that I lived in, they called it in the newspapers the suicide epidemic that was happening within the high school. So there were a lot of peers that I had, students, friends, classmates, that had died by suicide over a 3-year span. I think I've always been interested in mental health. I've always been interested in supporting people. So that's been kind of my little bit of my driving force behind of being a mental health professional. I've also supported individuals who are the survivors of friends and family who have died by suicide and helping them navigate the tricky and emotional path that they have to take to process that grief, because that is much different than your normal loss, as well as having patients who have had suicidal thoughts and safety planning with them, helping them find a sense of hope and helping them overcome some of those thoughts and working that safety plan so they're able to help themselves when they have those thoughts. And then personally, I 2 years ago lost my father to suicide. He is a Army veteran and was struggling with some medical diagnosis of his health and going through the VA. I can't say if he had the support he needed and people were asking the questions that they should have, but through that process and dealing with a pretty heavy diagnosis, as well as having his own ACEs and his own military trauma all compound on top of each other, led to that. So I've also had to be on the side of navigating those emotions and being able to move through that over the last few years.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
It's oftentimes it's the survivors. They're overlooked. It's always focused, it seems, more on the person who committed the suicide, and then not understanding possibly the effects of the people left behind, because it's the people that are left behind that have to deal with the consequences of the act. And yes, thank you for sharing that very, very personal story. So to close it out here, what's some advice you would give to someone who's struggling with suicidal thoughts?
Well, speak up. You're not alone. A lot of people, even the professionals who are here helping you, have had similar thoughts. So being open, being honest about what you need and what you're feeling. There are tons of people who are willing to show up for you and be in your corner and support you and help you through it.
Perfect. Well, Erica, thank you for joining me on this episode of The Pulse. It was a pleasure talking to you, and very insightful and emotional too, which for this topic is very appropriate.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. So there you have it. It's an important topic to talk about, especially this month, but any month, any day of the year, suicide awareness. You're not alone. There are resources out there to help you. And if you need the quickest access possible, remember 988. It's like the new 911 for suicide. If you're thinking about hurting yourself, you see someone that's contemplating hurting themselves, reach out, get the help you need or that they need. 988. Put it into your smartphone. Have it handy when you need it. And remember, ACE, ask, care, escort. Thank you for listening. This is Kevin signing off.